This is Soho Radio.
Hello everyone, what a beautiful day. It's as beautiful as Trump's compassionate response to the crisis in Puerto Rico. I mean, seriously, someone set fire to his hair. Hey, I'm Bibi Lynch, and you're listening to Bibi Does Soho on your fantastic Soho Radio. I'm all yours for the next 60 minutes. Should we do it? I'm Bibi Lynch, and that was Dua Lipa and Blow Your Mind. Mwah. I love kisses.
Do you?
Do you love... What mic are you on?
Oh, hello.
Hello. Do you love a kiss?
Yeah.
Who doesn't? Do you remember our first kiss?
I don't recall ever having kissed you.
What's a kiss deal breaker?
Oh, bad breath.
Tongues?
Oh, of course.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, not too much.
Not after a cup of coffee, though.
Oh, decaf. Hey, how are you? What's been happening to me? Well, I wasn't going to talk about my Auntie Julie's really beautiful surprise 70th yesterday. It wasn't a surprise to her that she was 70. She didn't know about the party. And it was a really lovely day, and so many of us Lynch lot were there, and it was just really brilliant. But more brilliant, Julian, I'm sorry about this, is we've found my earring in Soho Radio that's been lost for about 3 months.
Praise the Lord.
Praise Alexander O'Neill. We played a jingle from Alexander O'Neill. I genuinely can't
Don't
breathe.
Criticize.
Don't criticise him. Did he mention me at any stage, Producer Rach?
Of course.
What, look, in terms of the injunction?
Oh, the other big news, of course, is that Miss Bibi Lynch has joined Facebook.
I'm brilliant on it.
You are, actually. You give good face.
Thank you so much. Let me tell you about today's show. Yeah, it's weird. Our guest is the incredible singer, songwriter, sit down, Mr. Ian Shaw. Ian will be telling us all about his fantastic new album, Shine Sister Shine. So please join in. We would love to hear from you. Tweet at Soho Radio and at BB Lynch. Tweet and say hello. Or tweet and wish Auntie Juju a happy birthday. BB does Soho on Soho Radio, SohoRadioLondon.com, and we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. And that was We're In This Love Together by Aldero for Royce. Get well, be well. Guess what? Our guest is here. Welcome back to Soho Radio, jazz legend and friendo show, Ian Shaw.
I'm one of those things.
You are.
Yeah.
You decide. Those things. I played Aldero because you and I, you took me to Ronnie's one night and we sat and listened to Aldero and I think both had a little cry.
Yes, I know. And I did his very last London live gig I hosted. He did it in the form of a masterclass. on stage. She was absolutely lovely and so funny, but clearly very frail, but determined to let the music just fight it through, you know.
Those masterclasses are fantastic. That must be a real thrill for you to host those.
Yeah, on the stage with an audience, with a full audience. It's more of a sort of Q&A, really, because my thing about a masterclass is letting people sing. Well, that's not going to be happening at Ronnie Scott's, you know. Can I do Summertime in A minor? You've got Al Jarreau up there. But it was great, and Claire Martin, who is your neighbour.
Oh, yeah, hello, Claire.
She came along and asked, she was my kind of plant in the audience, so she asked some really gamey, fabulous musical questions, and he was wonderful.
Yeah. What have you been up to? I haven't seen you for a couple of years. Is it a couple of years?
I don't know. No, it's not. It can't be.
No, we went on a very determined march on Downing Street, you and I.
Yes, we did. We did, yeah.
We had tea with... what's her name, Teresa? I handed in a petition on a post-it. No, but that was the last time you and I...
That was the last time, yeah. Many people.
Many people.
We were amongst. I mean, just the same thing. Well, recording this album, really, and it's released on November the 11th, so just working up to that, really, and then thinking about the tour next year, but doing some London gigs.
Oh, we're going to talk a lot about these.
Smash
it in. That's a little bit aggressive, but there's some Ronnie dates coming up. Ronnie dates. Let me give Ian Shaw a proper introduction. Nominated for Male Jazz Vocalist of the Year in the prestigious US Downbeat Annual Readers poll last year. And winner of Best Jazz Vocalist at the BBC Jazz Awards twice and the Jazz FM Awards in 2003. Ian has recorded many highly acclaimed internationally released albums and has been cited as one of the world's finest male jazz vocalists, and Ian is here today to tell us all about his new release, Shine Sister Shine. I love the title of that.
Do you like it?
Yeah. What's the process of coming up with the title?
Well, it was very much an album that came out of stuff that I was doing working as a volunteer in refugee camps for 2 years, really, and also over here, and realizing that 78% of the voluntary sector is women, and then looking around me and all the guys that I were working with, all the guys that I were working with were women, and then there was the Women's March, you know, there was this where there was beauty, there was extreme ugliness, because I just thought, you know, women have had a pretty good deal in the last 3 years, where if you look for it. However, if you're not looking for it and it just lands on your head, you've got Donald Trump putting the whole clock back, you know, gosh, 80 years. So, and the Women's March really inspired me to put the album together.
And this couldn't actually be written at any other time, could it? Or that could not have been written at any other
time? No, I don't think so, no. It was women sort of telling blokes to get off their asses and come with them and march, you know, and I was there, and it felt like a kind of a new thing, but it also felt kind of sad, because you just knew that at the end of it nothing was going to happen in terms of political progress.
So, you know. Ian Shaw, it's exactly that. So I've been quite the political animal, and I've been going to quite a few marches and rallies and really, really feeling the need to, and really loving it when I'm there, and finding it thrilling and exhilarating, and feeling like you're part of something and it's going to change. And then nothing changes. And I know it's not going to happen that quickly, but when Theresa May, everyone's like, oh, she's got a week left, she's got a day left, suddenly she's 2 weeks left. Oh, hang on, she appears to have 3 years left. You know? And I just don't know how the momentum at that time didn't kick off what should have happened. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is, you know, we all talk jokingly about revolutions, but if you look in the last 24 hours, you know, there was a revolution in Spain.
Yeah.
And that is happening more and more. And, of course, we don't want that to happen, because you're seeing little old ladies with...
850 people in...
Yeah. And, you know, God, this is serious, isn't it?
No, we're fine.
It's because I had a coffee. you know, we don't want that to happen, but the thing is, the whole thing about revolutions is they do have to happen on whatever scale they're in, you know. And the whole Theresa May thing is now frankly comedy, you know. She's got a whole team that she doesn't talk to. They all loathe each other, and there's Boris, you know, at the helm. We've got Boris and Jacob Rees-Mogg, like some sort of weird vaudevillian
show. Jacob anti-abortion, but hang on, as long as it gives me the dollar.
That's exactly.
He's appalling.
Where's he got those? In his wardrobe, then? Does he jiffy bag them off himself?
He comes in a jiffy. No, hang on, wait. That's too early for that summer.
Did you see Theresa May on Andrew Marr yesterday?
Yes.
Apparently Apparently she was breathless and...
Well, you know, yeah, she was saying, oh, well, if Jeremy Corbyn gets in, then the pound will plummet. And then Andrew Marr said, well, how's the pound now? And she said, it's fluctuating.
Well, this is post-truth, isn't it? I mean, we are now living in... I mean, it feels like me to be just the last 2 years, really, of we're in this kind of post-modern, post-truth era where this happens very obviously because it's all over social media. But in fact, the people who are at the core of it go, no, it didn't happen. It just didn't happen, yeah. You know. Yeah. And Theresa May is the prime example. I can't think of any other politician, you know, and I was never a Thatcher fan, but what she said she was going to do, she did, yeah. You know.
Have you met Theresa May in your...
No, I've been in the same room as her about 5 or 6 years ago. Well, no, not even then, when she was Home Sec at the Houses of Parliament. She was okay. She's just a very kind of... She's a worry because she's not...
Well...
She's not well, but she's not a voice for anyone, really. She doesn't represent anyone, I don't think, anymore.
Not even herself, successfully.
No. But the Andrew Marr show was a case. I mean, that was just fantastic, telly, wasn't it? He was determined, wasn't he? And I just thought, oh, no, he's only got 30 seconds left. He's got to nail it, you know. But the thing is, she answers questions with another...
She can't
whole
go
different
off script.
Subject.
No, she can't go off script.
The brilliant Justin Myers, the guyliner on Twitter, said yesterday, Theresa May is so that woman behind the post office counter who closes her window when you're next in the queue,
yeah,
but still sits there.
That's very, very good, isn't it? There's something... She's just... I think she just smells of Mint Imperials. Every time I look at her, I think she's going to get her Mint Imperials out. Schnorr, schnorr.
My niece Billy, who I now call Willie because she calls me Uncle BB. Oh. She was saying yesterday, and this is true as well. There's something about Theresa May as well.
Your family.
They're horrible. Is that they're so ugly as well. God, they're gorgeous. You kind of feel sorry for her too. I just feel like, has she been placed? Anyway, whatever, Theresa May.
Anyway,
I hope you regret going out with her, are you sure? and that you'll never date her again. So your track as well, Carry On World. So I love this. So Carry On World is saying exactly that, isn't it?
Yeah, it was inspired by a comment that my neighbour, we go to the same pub, I live in Lambeth North, and there's an amazing pub called the Oxymoron, about two doors away.
It's actually called that.
Yeah.
Like a Sunday lunch in there.
Oh, did you?
All right, boys.
Yeah, it's very nice. And my neighbour, who's 90, she's from County Cork, we were talking about Theresa May, actually. And she said, well, you know, Ian, it's a carry-on world starring everyone. And I just thought, what a great title for a song.
That's amazing.
It's a film, it's a song, it's, you know. And it's there. I'd name all the women that I was working with at the time, you know. I'm a trustee of a charity called Side by Side with Refugees, and Kat's in it. She opens the first, so my actual sister's in it. And it's kind of a pop song, really. It opens the album.
That's so pretty. I want to play a track from the album.
Oh.
And the album's called Shine Sister Shine, so I would like to play...
Oh, Lord.
Shine Sister Shine. Sister Moon, Sister Sun, Sister Soon, Sister Dan, Sister Yours, Sister Mine, Sister Gloomy, Sister Fine, Sister Sun, Sister Frail, Sister Wrong, Sister Pale, Sister Bruised, Sister Bled, Sister Used, Sister Fed, Sister Rise, Sister Fall, Sister Mother to us all, Sister Don't, Sister Did, Sister Old, Sister Kid. Sister Kissed, Sister God, Sister.
Sister Sky, Sister Fries, Sister I, Sister Fruit, Sister Cloud, Sister Shh, Sister Loud, Sister Bird, Sister Wing, Sister Cry, Sister King, Sister Cold, Sister Black, Sister Strength that I lack, Sister Proud, Sister Strong, Sister Here Comes Your Song.
Ian Shaw on the title track from his new album Shine, Sister Shine. That's a co-write with Denise Tickrett.
Yes, yeah, it is. I just I texted her in a panic because I had all the words, well, pretty much all the words. She actually added a few lines as well. She's on tour at the moment in Germany.
Name a word, claim a third.
Yeah. Name a word, claim a third. Is that a publishing rule?
Yes. It's add a third, is it? Add a word.
Change a word,
claim a third.
But yeah, like Simon Cowell having the writing credit for the X Factor theme. It always makes me laugh on the credits when it comes up.
Yeah. I mean, my mum thought Boy George had written the theme tune to Have I Got News For You, and it was Big George, wasn't it?
Big George.
No, I contacted her and said, help, I've got all these words and I've got too many words really, but I don't have a melody or chords or anything. And in a day she turned it round and she sent me this little home recording on her piano, and she's great, you know, because she's got that pop song mentality, which I don't really have.
She's amazing, and she's, like, you know, brilliantly talented and, you know, fantastic, etc., etc. And I know it's awful to kind of, you know, bring anything down to this level, but God, she's gorgeous.
She is gorgeous.
She's gorgeous as well.
She's gorgeous,
like,
yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Other female artists are you collaborating with or covering on the album?
Well, I wanted to make it a bit historical as well. So there's a Peggy Lee co-write on there. I don't mean with me, but although I did know her a bit when she
did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I used to wheel her around Soho in the
when she was alive.
When she's alive, I think she was alive.
You didn't have to add that name.
Yeah. No, it's a very bizarre connection. Back in the day, you know, God, you can say that in Soho now, can't you? Even if you're 50 something. I used to drink with Alexander Corder's daughter, who I never knew her name. She used to call herself Lady Corder, and she knew Peggy Lee. She'd known her since the early 60s, and she also helped her get all her money from the Disney films, you know, because Peggy Lee wrote those incredible songs, and she was never rightfully
so which films did she
remunerated for them. She wrote He's the Tramp, and
no
I Love Him. Yeah, she wrote those songs, melody and lyrics. So I found one of her songs that I always loved Diana Krall doing, but we did this kind of mashup arrangement of it called I Don't Know Enough About You. I know a little bit about a lot of things, but I don't know. So it's all, again, it fits into that kind of, you know, a lot of my girlfriends are, you know, constantly having to cope with, you know, just ridiculous blokes, you know, and there's a lot of that.
Is there? Yes. You should just have me ring going, Ian. You won't believe what's happening. You know, I'm a whip now. We'll talk about that in a minute. Peggy Lee, Joni Mitchell.
Yeah, Joni Mitchell. Of course, there has to be a Joni there. Who else have I done?
Carly Simon.
Carly Simon. Yeah, I just sat at the piano and boshed out a few ones that I'd kind of known in my head, but I hadn't arranged for the band, so I did them solo. Ricky Lee Jones' song, Afternoons in 1963, which is that beautiful song about childhood. A Sarah Jane Morris song called... a horse named Janis Joplin. That's what it's called, right? And it's about this drunk American guy came backstage one night and said, you should be playing Janis Joplin, and I've got the screenplay rights, and I've got this, and I've got that. And Sarah Jane got really, really excited about it. And I think she bought something like a car, thinking, well, I'll be in Hollywood soon.
A Mercedes Benz.
Mercedes Benz. Why? Nick coming up there. Very nice there. Thinking, gosh. And, of course, it didn't happen. It went to Renee Zellweger, film. I think it went straight to cassette. Straight to 8-track. And so there's that one on there. What else is on there? Oh,
you've got our friend, Osho, Judith Owen.
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah. There's a song that will break your heart called Trip and Tumble, which I recorded it and sent it. I haven't actually sent some of the songs to some of the writers, so I have to do that. And there's a song called This Beautiful Life, which is... a very jubilant song written by Julie Matthews, who is part of the whole kind of Brit folk scene. I asked them all, would they mind me doing their songs, you know, because I think it's only right that you do that rather than surprise them with a shit version.
So that's really nice, though. So it's a political album, of course, and it's powerful, and you're making lots of messages, and they are by nature depressing messages because that's what's going on right now. But it's looking forward. There's some...
Yeah. Oh, it's my poppiest, brightest, is jazziest it? Album, yeah, ironically.
That often happens, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And thankfully, we've got a double vinyl coming out. I think it comes out just before Christmas. So that gives us enough room to put really miserable extra tracks on, like Jessie by Janis Ian, which is on the vinyl. Is it? I think.
It's on the vinyl. Yeah. How did you choose which women to... cover or pay tribute to?
They were just always in my system, really. I loved This Beautiful Life, which is recorded by Chris Weil, who sings with Fairport Convention, and Julie Matthews. And I kind of know them. I've never met them, but I know them via people like Claire Teal and Christine Collister. They're in a band called Daphne's Flight, which is just superb. It's six women singing harmony.
Oh, wow, so, that sounds amazing. Mm,
and, of course, I'm just looking at Harry Shearer up on the wall here, and I know Harry and Judith.
Harry's not on the wall, everyone. Yeah, Harry has better things to do.
But Judith and Harry are really long, 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 long-standing old friends of mine, so it made complete sense to put one of Jude's songs on it. You know, Sarah Jane Morris, we are so close, you know. Claire Martin, I couldn't find anything by Claire, really, because... she's not, you know, she's known for reinterpreting other people's songs rather than writing.
Oh, I love you and Claire doing Stevie Wonder. Knocks me off my what's it?
Knocks me off
my thingy. Off my knee. we must all do the knee thing later. Can we play? Tell me why you've chosen to cover this song. So Ian, we have to have a bit of, full disclosure here. Was my husband for how long?
Oh, 17 years.
17 long, long years. No, he was my singing teacher.
That was so long ago.
When I was
23. Oh, 23. Was it really? Yeah.
I still never heard you sing.
No, it's because I can't sing.
Oh, she's all right.
And we wouldn't sing. We would just have biscuits and tea and gossip about people. Yeah, that's why. Yeah, yeah. I think you owe me a little bit of a refund there, Ian Shaw. But what Ian did was introduce me, not physically, but to... So I would say, Ian, you and my ex, Graham, and my mum dictated my music taste.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and Phoebe Snow. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And you've covered Touch Your Soul.
Yeah.
Why that one?
Well, it just grabbed me from the first time I heard it, because it was obviously about a situation that she'd found herself in, you know. I mean, in a way, you need to say no more. But the first line, you know, I saw you leave the bar last night with a nameless, faceless girl. And I just thought,
God,
could not get any more angry but contained, you know.
And grabbing you in, because suddenly you want to know that story.
Yeah, and it's always sometimes just Indian Night. Always sometimes single lines.
Ian Shaw reading aloud on Soho Radio.
He's multitasking.
He's very talented.
Yeah. Single lines like, you just can't sleep, least of all with me. Oof. You know, and it's like, oh, yeah, that'll do, won't it?
Little boy lost.
Yeah, and I have to say my drummer, Dave Ohm, who also works with Georgia Mancho and is her life partner as well. In fact, we've got a gig on Friday. I'm doing the Late Show at Pizza Express Dean Street. That is a shameless plug.
Okay.
With Georgia, just me and Georgia Mancho, if anyone.
I love Georgia.
Because the Ronnie shows are going to be selling out, I think, quite soon. So, so Phoebe Snow, he came up with the groove. I wanted something which was nothing like the original, and he absolutely nailed it.
Oh, I want to hear this then, because I love the original. So pressure's on, Ian Shaw.
Ooh.
Listen.
I saw you leave the bar last night with some nameless, faceless girl. All at once you were lost, little boy, and a man of the world. Your lonely nights of conquest can never make you. Someone to touch your soul. I watched you in your helpless dance, a masculinity. You're so tired, you can't sleep, least of all with me. You search yourself inside and out. Silence takes its toll, and you squander your body. You need someone to touch your soul. You feel exposed when someone knows a secret that you'd rather not explore. Or you're moving close. Then you run away. Does it hurt that much to say what you really need to say? I'll run into you again someday. I hope you will be free. Meanwhile, don't waste another minute of your life. It's precious to me. Don't keep on running from yourself, alone in the cold. No, no. Don't squander your body. You gotta let someone touch your soul. You gotta let someone touch your soul. Don't squander your body.
You're listening to BB Does Soho on Soho Radio, sohoradiolondon.com, and we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio. And that was our guest Ian Shaw and Touch Your Soul.
BB Does Soho. Lucky Soho.
Ian, I know it's hard to end this series on that chink, but I love it. I know this is me blowing smoke up your gorgeous arse, but honestly... It's Donny Hathaway, Gladys Knight, and your voices make me cry every time. It's like I can hardly come and see you in concert. I've never not cried.
Oh, gosh.
Why do you do that?
I don't know, really. somebody once said, your diction's very good. And it's because I like to people to hear the stories, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not... I don't want to be an American swaggery kind of copy of the jazz thing, you know.
Yeah.
I can't do that at all. I just... Instant, if I go anywhere near a suit, I'm selling a Nissan car. So, but just, you know, I'd like people to get into the inside the music.
Who does that for you? Who's around now that you've seen that does that for you?
Leanne Carroll.
Yeah.
Absolutely, totally. Who's on, you know, our scene, as it were.
Yeah.
Who does that? Lots of dead people, I guess. Shirley Horn, Mark Murphy. Al really did that. Al Jarreau. I struggle with...
Is it hard for you as a singer and an artist to go somewhere and completely get absorbed in it? Or are you thinking, if they're so amazing, because you are amazing, but if you go and see someone amazing, you're like, oh, God, I'm not really enjoying this because I want to be able to do that, or this is happening, or that's inspired me. Or so you've got head mode on.
A little
mode.
Bit, but I quite like, you know, I quite like the kind of, I like to sort of treat myself and be a punter.
Yeah.
So I interviewed Stacey Kent recently, and she sang A Time for Love, which is a Johnny Mandel song. And it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. It was so simple. So often it's not kind of flashy or voices with gravitas and air and soul and depth that move you. It's somebody that's just putting a song on a plate that's already been written, maybe.
So that's really interesting, because I think I'm a bit of a voice snob, in that if a voice isn't kind of...
Yeah,
okay, so
yeah.
I got a little bit people got a bit annoyed with me on Twitter and Facebook the other day, because I said that I just don't get the Nick Cave thing, right?
Oh, right,
and
yeah.
My point of saying that was, again, it's... The voice kind of puts me off, and
yeah,
then someone
yeah.
sent me a track, and so I listened to it, my you know, voice out of it, and thought it was beautiful.
Mm,
but it just, I need that kind of perfect voice also. Although I love Elvis Costello, has that crack in his voice.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's still brilliant.
Well, Nick has got, I mean, I put Nick in the same kind of bracket as, you know, Tom Waits and Robert from The Cure, you know, that sort of, somebody who just writes really good songs, and then puts them across in a way that sometimes other singers can do better, if that's what you want,
yeah.
I suppose. I struggle with the Beatles. I just can't listen to them.
Yeah.
Never have. Never. I'm. You know, that it's such a what a thing to say. You know, especially in Soho. But well, I can't do it.
Being criticised, Nick Cave having recently moved to Brighton.
So yeah, that's that, true. Yeah, that, you that watch was, yourself.
David
laugh,
Quantick
you know.
Was that any
people lurking in bus shelters.
I saw the David Quantick comment.
Q was like, yeah, and in Brighton, she says that.
Now, yeah.
The point is, I expect we'll become very good friends. And he may or may not fall a little in love with me.
I don't. Undoubtedly.
But what I'm going to say is, imagine the
You'll
next
album.
You'll
become a bad seed before Christmas.
I'll be a rotten seed by January. I'll be a decaying little seed by March. It's my birthday, in short.
I've recorded a Nick song. I recorded Into Your Arms with, you know, a million other people, I suppose.
That was the song that someone sent me, and I went, okay, this is beautiful.
Yeah,
oh, I want to hear you do written. That. See, this is my this is case in point. If I heard you do... Okay, no, I don't.
You have a big problem with Frank Sinatra, don't you?
Can't stand him.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Because it's too smooth. To me,
yes,
it's
yeah.
too smooth. Should yeah, we stop? Because I'm embarrassing
that.
Myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know
but
people.
Gladys Knight, oh. Come on, girl.
I was up a ladder the other day with first of all Prince, then Gladys. It was a beautiful moment. I know how involved you've been in the refugee crisis and the Calais jungle. Like 2 years, you say it's incredible, isn't it?
Mm.
And while you were, you know, going down there all the time, driving down there, you didn't put your work on hold. But I was thinking, I wonder how this will affect his writing, because you have to absorb that. So how do you think that has?
Well, I'm not a prolific songwriter.
Aren't you?
Not really. No, I don't really write as much as I suppose I should. I write comedy songs really easily and slip them in. but you know,
so rude.
Yeah, it has affected songs, not just how I write, but songs I choose, I suppose, as well. Because art, life, art, all the rest of it. You know, experiences. Art, you know,
changes perception of
Francis Bacon, if he wasn't so messed up, you know, had he not been so messed up by his sexuality and his, you know, his sex obsession and booze and stuff, he wouldn't have painted those paintings. He couldn't have done that, you know. It does affect you, I suppose, but it's very, very separate, you know. I think I probably sang once or twice. I put a keyboard in, and we helped fund
you
build this cafe.
Yeah.
In the Calais jungle, you know. And it was just looking around, thinking, God, you know, there were 17 cultures sitting in a tent under a bridge in north of France, you know. Calais, which is basically Croydon with better cheese.
Cheaper wine,
yeah. It was very separate over there, but a lot of the guys that, you know, have come from the most incredible, it's only when you talk to people one to one that you get their confidence and you do hear their stories, you know. And they're not a lot. Most of them don't. They don't understand how the UK system works. You know, all this kind of immigrants coming over here to take jobs. No, you know, records will show that actually, without immigration, you know, we wouldn't have had railways or airports or Soho, even as it is. Mm-hmm. You know, so all that groans on, and people will always be like that. You can't change that trip switching people. It's just abject racism, really. And add to that people who are genuinely in terrible trouble, and they've come from such incredible, monstrous political divisions that have thrown up things like enforced conscription for women from the age of 13. Well, you know, there's a song on the album, actually, called Keep Walking, yeah. Song for Sarah, who's a friend of mine who I met right at the beginning of the jungle. She's from Eritrea. And it took her 6 months to tell her story, you know. And I said, what about your family? And she said, well, this is why I need a phone, so I can talk to my son on FaceTime. Like, you've got a son? Where is he? He's in prison in Eritrea, but they allow him one phone call a week. You know, that's just not in my sphere. You know, I can't.
That level of suffering. And what's happening now?
In Eritrea.
In Calais.
In Calais. Yeah, well, the official, non-official refugee camp was demolished. Mm. Which made... the Home Office promised that we would look after these people and put the under 18s, the unaccompanied minors, onto a list that could be processed to see whether, number one, they had family in the UK, and under the Dublin 3 regulation, we could look at that, because we have a moral, not even a moral, but a political duty, a legal duty to do that, because it's, you know, the whole Schengen thing, which is going to go tits up soon, isn't it? And that didn't happen. Not one of those kids were processed. And it was down to individual people like Laura Griffiths, who almost single-handedly rooted out these kids that she sort of had an inkling would have UK family, you know. And I think 210 under the scheme were brought over to the United Kingdom, and they're now with their families.
And how many kids are there just not with their families?
Last week we guessed that there are almost 2,000 kids sleeping rough in the north of France, which is just silly. Now, on a grander scale, you look at things like the natural disaster thing, you look at areas which have a different kind of refugee crisis, which isn't a refugee crisis, that's our thing. It's a political crisis that affects people seeking refuge. I think on a grander scale, people, you know, it's losing its kind of hold in publicity thing, because hardly any now are trying to jump on lorries because they've given up and they haven't got the strength, the physical strength.
So it's not Daily Mail sexy now.
It's not as much as it was, as you can probably see, but it's still there. And it's just the NGOs, you know, the non-governmentals that are looking after the situation. And individuals, we at Side by Side with Refugees, which is the charity I'm a trustee of, we look after two people called Heather and Kelvin. And they live in a transit van in the middle of Paris, and they spend all night going around looking for new arrivals in Paris that don't even know they're in Paris, to give them a blanket, to give them some clothes, give them some hot tea. We're never going to break out of that, because until it's governmentally recognised, it will be a political crisis for a long time.
And it's just not going to be.
No.
Oh, Ian Shaw. Your sleeve notes ask whether art and politics can mix. They have to, don't they?
I always feel a bit kind of fluffy about that one, but I think, of course they do. Yeah. Of course they do. Hogarth, you know, right from the start of our kind of politics, where art, you know, the late 17th century, we had progressive kind of poetry and plays talking about, you know, class division and things. Yeah, so politics and art, I don't know. But Stella pointed to Stella Duffy. What if you don't get, you don't ask?
So Stella's written sleeve notes and a kind of extended note as well.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So it's novelist Stella Duffy. I want to quote this because I just think this will sum up the album beautifully. Mm-hmm. Quote, "This is an album crammed with sharp pain, deeply felt and countered with soaring resonant hope, empire states of mind for all. We see what hurts, we cry the tears, and because we know there is also life, also light, we dig deep and find the strength to make a change. Where to start? Start anywhere. Start here. Start now."
Mm.
That's so cool.
Well, I knew that we've never met. I'm a huge fan of her work. I think she she will be historically one of the greatest, you know, novelists. Mm. Not just for women, because she writes, you know, she writes brilliant sort of what used to be called women's literature, but it's for everyone really. And she's sleuthy. She, you know, she writes kind of sleuthy. She's historical. She's political. She's funny. But
I really want to be sleuthy.
You can be sleuthy.
Can I? Well, okay, I'm toothy. Come on. But she's amazing.
She is. Yeah, she is. And we kind of bumped into each other on the wonderful social media. I think on Twitter we met.
Yeah.
She said, "Oh, you know, I'm a fan of your music," and I said, "Not as much as I'm a fan of your writing." You know, I do. I have all her books in my house, and I just said, "Do you want to write some liner notes?" And she'd never written liner notes before, and she's very upfront. And she said, "I'll have a go. I'm running a 10K run." She's had an extraordinary time. Her health has been up and down, you know, and she's involved in the Fun Palaces project at the moment, which is incredible, really, all over the world. And she was running with the white label in of the album in her ear, and she came up with that beautiful, you know, I knew she'd find stuff in the music that I couldn't voice with just the music.
That's so amazing. And so not only the album, which is out on November 11th, did you say? Ian's got gigs at Ronnie's on the 27th and 28th of this month, so it's kind of like to launch, celebrate, play the album. Tell us about your brilliant trio. I love these boys.
I know, they're a long time, my band. I just, you know, it's a fellowship community thing, I think, gigging. I think if you don't get on with people, you can't really go on the road with them. And they're just brilliant. They're just sort of grumpy, brilliant blokes. And they're very accepting. And, you know, Dave Ohm, the drummer, who's, I've known him for years and years and years. And he's just so creative and diligent. He's the kind of academic in the band, I suppose. And Mick Hutton, who's just... gorgeous bass player, has worked with everyone, and he's never missed a gig, you know, he always prioritises. And Barry Green, who's just moved to Holland, but is convinced that he can
still come over.
Do it, 29 quid Ryanair. Good luck with that one. I love him very much, you know. It's great when we're together.
Sorry, I'm just doing... Oh, my God, I'm so sorry, everyone. My little brain was everywhere there. No, they are brilliant. And I saw... Where was the gig that we went to in Lots Road? And I was trying to think of the venue the other night.
Oh, 606.
606. That was my first time there. And great one place. Of your boys, I ordered sausage and mash.
Yeah.
And that's all the comments I got all night.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Horrible musicians. Ian, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And happy album.
Thank you.
Is it fun getting an album out? Do you get nervous?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, I can't do anything about it now. Just do the gigs and look forward to touring you next year. And, you know, we'll do Ronnie's and that's always fun. Yeah.
We're going to come to every gig. And not in a stalker way, because that's, you know, that's not good. So I need to say goodbye. Am I going to say goodbye? I'm not going to say goodbye. I know what we're going to do. We're going to play George Michael.
Here we go.
As around the sun, the earth knows she's revolving, and the rosebuds know to bloom in early May. This is ain't no love's a cure. You can rest your mind assured that I'll be loving you. Can't reveal.
George Michael and Mary J. Blige, and Ian Shaw's still here because it's really, I don't see him for a long time, then when I do, I won't let him go. I'm like a little terrier on heat. I'm like clutching till fine. Did you knew George Michael, didn't you?
Little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
How was he?
1 year ago. He's very shy.
Was he?
Yeah, very shy and very friendly. Superb singer, you know. I was going to say underrated because, of course, he wasn't underrated. He was very popular, but.
Do you think if someone's a pop singer, it's they're instantly, automatically not quite deemed as brilliant as a...
I don't know. Sometimes it works like that, doesn't it? And I just think he was an extraordinary singer, you know, and writer.
Yeah.
You know, different corner, two chords, that's all you need, you know. He was incredible.
Did you work with him?
I gave him a singing lesson once in Earl's Court.
Did you actually teach him to sing rather than give him biscuits and gossip?
No, he came. It was two singing lessons in the same week, and he had problems with his voice, which I... can't, you know, I've had it myself. You need to go to a doctor, really.
Nodules.
No, I think it was just he was on the verge of a hemorrhage, which I have had, which is the worst thing ever, because you just turn into Judi Dench, and that's what you don't need to be able to sing, you know, jazz, really.
It's okay if you sing Send in the Clouds without anything else. Yeah. Oh, well, the late
great. He's very nice. He in Lily Yard Studios. Do you remember Lily Yard? Mm. In Earl's Court, yeah. And he wouldn't take his sunglasses off, and I went, God, take your sunglasses off. And he went, really? And I went, yeah, you know, there's no one in the room, it's just me and you. And it'd be nice to see your eyes. But that was such a long time ago.
Yeah.
That was, you know, 20-odd years ago. Nice.
But you're only 35 now, aren't
you? Yeah.
Isn't it weird how time...
He started young.
Doesn't change. So, look, I need to say goodbye and thank my gorgeous guest. Thank you, Ian Shaw.
Very welcome.
Shine, Sister Shine is out on November 11th on Jazz Village, and Ian Shaw and Trio are playing Ronnie Scott's October 27th and 28th, and there's early and late shows for both dates. Ring now.
Well, the late shows only now.
Oh, they're only late shows only now. Go along, you'll just have the most amazing night. And for updates on the album, gigs and all Ian's exciting projects, follow him on Twitter at Ian Shaw Jazz, and go visit ianshaw.biz. Thank you, producer Nick. Thank you, producer Rachel. Most of all, thank you for listening and joining in. That's it from me, BB Lynch, until Monday week. Stay tuned to your wonderful Soho Radio, and I'll leave you with I Don't Want to Do Wrong by my mummy Gladys Knight and my daddy's the Pips. Love you, Soho.
Mm-hmm. Don't wanna do wrong, but you've been gone. It's really, oh yes it is. It's out of my hands, but I.